through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The reading is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, and can be found on page 215 in the Pew Bibles. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 22. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered round him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you have not believed. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May my words and our thoughts be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I think the best bit of advice I've ever had about praying is pray as you can, not as you can't. It sounds so obvious because every single one of us is different, totally unique, from our fingerprints to our souls. But so many people struggle with feeling they're not doing it right. Other people are much better prayers than they are. And as a soul friend or spiritual director, I've heard that so often, and I felt like that myself. Now, listening to God is vital. He's holding us in a loving relationship, but actually hearing his voice is very different. And apart from the one very significant moment I talked about last week, I haven't heard God speaking to me. There are times when I'm very aware of his presence, times when things pop into my head from heaven knows where, and I need to do something about it. And that's what I call a God prod, and they're important. And times when someone else will say something to me which is really significant. But I don't hear God's voice. There is a lovely story of an archbishop who was having a really hard time. God felt very distant, and he went into his chapel to try to pray. He knelt before the altar, he slumped onto the rail and groaned, "Oh God!" And a gentle voice said, "Yes, my son." When his chaplain came in for evensong, he found the archbishop sprawled dead in front of the altar. Make of that what you will. Significant people throughout the Bible hear God's voice. Moses was able to speak to God face to face, and that was shocking to the Jews, who believed that if you looked on the face of God, you would die. Samuel, in our first reading, needs his master Eli to tell him that God is speaking to him, and he must listen. He grows up to be a great spiritual leader. And above all, Jesus is totally in tune with his Father. In our gospel reading, he reminds us that he and the Father are one, and his sheep hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him. So when we soak ourselves in Jesus' words, we are indeed listening to God. And Lectio Divina, divine reading, the posh name for prayerful Bible reading, can be immensely powerful. "Lord, teach us to pray," said the disciples. "We want some of what you've obviously got every time you go off on your own to be with your Father." And Jesus gave them his prayer, the Lord's Prayer, now prayed billions of times daily in almost every known language. Today's petition, "Give us today our daily bread," is at one level a practical request for sustenance. Enough food for today, please. Not a freezerful. And when I've taught children the actions to the Lord's Prayer, we put our hands out as if we were holding a glorious French baguette, freshly baked, crisp, soft, yummy. But Jesus reminds his friends and us that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. So we're praying too for our spiritual sustenance. And listening prayer, being open to God, is where we're going to find it. Sister Wendy, that wonderful art writer nun, who spent much of her life in solitary prayer, says, "If you want God to take possession of you, then you are praying. That is all prayer is." And she wrote, "The essential act of prayer is to stand unprotected before God." I find that very challenging, because I'm much better at doing rather than simply being. But I know she's right. My busyness gets in the way. We have to slow down, try to put aside all our preoccupations, all the things we ought to do, all the things we must do, and listen to the psalmist. "Be still and know that I am God." So in my better moments, that's what I try to do. And try it now with me if you like, or just have a little doze. Begin by being as physically balanced as you can. Not easy in a hard pew, but you can be sitting, standing, kneeling, using a prayer stool. If you're sitting, make sure your feet are both on the floor, your weight is evenly spread, your head is balanced on top of your spine, not bending forward, or you'll get a stiff neck. And then check for tension, especially in your hands, your face, and your feet. The number of times I sit down to pray and discover my toes are clenched. relax them. And then close your eyes or look at a candle or something that you're going to find helpful. And then breathe slowly and consciously in and out. And check again for those tight spots. Then I use what Eastern religions call a mantra, a few words or a phrase which I've chosen, repeated silently in my head, over and over again. Find your own. I use, "Be still and know that I am God," or "I have called you by name, you are mine," or a very simple form of the Jesus prayer, "Lord Jesus, have mercy," and time the words with your breathing, in and out. After a few minutes, you may well want to drop the words and simply be still before God. Easier said than done, because all sorts of things will pop into your mind. Look at each one. If it's totally unimportant, just put it to one side. If it's important, make a mental note to deal with it later, and then go back to your mantra if you need to. You're not going to do anything. You're standing unprotected before God. And what happens, or if anything happens, is entirely up to Him. You may then want to hold the people or situations you're praying for before Him. You may want to read from the Bible. You may want a cup of tea. It's up to you now. So come back into our everyday busyness, knowing that for 5 minutes or 30 minutes or however long it's taken, you have been in God's loving presence without the tumult of thought and activity, which is our normal life. Try it in a peaceful place, but don't feel guilty if you think it doesn't work. The greatest prayers write about the dark night of the soul, the overwhelming sense of the absence of God, which can go on for years, and which Mother Teresa lived with for years. I sometimes just get bored. But we wouldn't try if we didn't believe that God is there, loving us and holding us, even when we can't see or feel or hear Him. My very wise nun friend, Sister Meg, once said, "Ask yourself, do you want the consolations of God, all the nice bits, the good feelings? Or do you want the God of consolations, God Himself?" So pray as you can, not as you can't, but whatever helps, do it. And be nourished. Amen.